This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tim Carney joins us on the phone. He is the author of a new book, The Big Ripoff, How Big Business and Big Government Steal Your Money. He joins us on the long line from his office in Washington, is that right?
That's right, here on Capitol Hill.
Oh, now there you go. What do you do there?
Well, currently now I've just started as an editor for Regnery Publishing, which is not actually my own publisher, but after writing a book, I decided I could go out and help other people make theirs better. But I'm also a freelance journalist covering Capitol Hill, national politics, and all the fun stuff that goes around here.
Fantastic. Tim Carney is our guest. The book is The Big Ripoff. I would like to start at the very beginning of your book. You referenced something called the big myth. And tell us what that big myth is vis-a-vis big business and big government, and explode that myth for us, if you will.
The myth is that what business wants is to be left alone. The myth is that the battles that go on here in Washington regarding taxes or regulation are the taxers and the regulators versus the big business. A final way of putting it is the myth is that when big business is lobbying and getting its way, that its way is laissez-faire and free markets. And what I did in the Big Ripoff was I went and I found case after case after case of the big businesses going and saying, you know what? We want you to regulate our industry more, or even we want you to push more taxes on our industry, or at least we want you to give us handouts and corporate welfare and all sorts of special favors. Very rarely was big business saying, hey, government, leave us alone. Let us do what we want to do.
And yet that's what we so often hear typically from conservatives is, you know, we want to, as Ronald Reagan famously said, government is the problem. It's not the solution. We typically hear, especially from Republicans, that we just need to get government off our backs and out of the way. And yet your research shows that big business is very quietly doing something very different than that.
And that's why one of the reasons the outgoing Republican majority had trouble really actually limiting government, cutting spending, cutting taxes as much as they want. They couldn't do those as much as they wanted to because some of them thought they would have big business as an ally. But when it came down to it, business was like, all right, cut the other guy's spending, just don't cut my handouts or cut those regulations. But these ones are really important, so keep it. So the Republicans and their closeness to big business, which I should point out is not any closer than the Democrats, but the Republicans' closeness to big business kept them from making government smaller and made them just another party of big government.
And that's probably one reason we saw the Bush administration, which has been in power for 6 years, has overseen some of the greatest government spending and some of the greatest growth of our federal government in history.
Yeah, but in the Big Ripoff, I do tell the story of my favorite thing that the Bush White House did, which was after the Clinton and Bush and the first Bush White House had done plenty to help out Enron, and again, not to relax the rules to help Enron, but actually to push more regulations to help Enron, Ken Lay called the White House, and Bush didn't take his call. Ken Lay called the Treasury Secretary, and the Treasury Secretary, who was Paul O'Neill at the time, said, oh, you're in trouble. That's too bad. Let me know if you need help finding a job after your company goes under, and maybe I can call some of my friends, but I'm not going to try to save your company. And he said, businesses come and businesses go, and that's part of the beauty of capitalism. Now, this is noteworthy because it's so rare that this administration or any administration is willing to do that, is willing to say no when big business comes begging for favors.
And certainly we see that happening with the airline industry. And I guess the rationale is, a whole lot of other businesses need the airline industry, so we're going to give them whatever they need to stay open.
Yeah, but that defeats the whole purpose of free market capitalism, which is sort of a Darwinian idea that the ones that aren't run well will go out of business, and the ones that are run well, like Southwest Airlines, for example, will succeed and do better. And so that inherently makes the economy more efficient, but you've got both parties sort of they get here and they slowly get a little more arrogant and they slowly start to think, well, the free market might be fine, but I can do things better. And that arrogance, as the voters finally recognized on Tuesday, that arrogance overwhelms them and they begin to think that they are the brokers of wealth, that they're the ones who make our country better. They don't realize that it's a dynamic free market that's going to increase wealth and increase, not that you don't need any regulation, but that these guys think that regulation is a way to drive economic growth.
Yeah, and what's so what's challenging for me to get my mind around is the fact that these corporations hire the lobbyists. They write the legislation themselves that mm-hmm. then becomes law, and it's very anti-free market.
Let me tell you a story about that, which is Philip Morris helped write a regulation to increase federal control over tobacco. Philip Morris was lobbying for more regulation over its own product, and as you're pointing out, lobbying often means writing the bill. And why would they lobby for more regulation? Well, one, again, they get to write the bill, so they're going to make sure that the regulations more dramatically affect the smaller guys than the bigger guy. And Philip Morris is 50% of all the cigarettes sold in this country. But any regulation, almost no matter how it's written, is going to hurt the smaller guy more than the bigger guy. Just think of of a small business where you've all of a sudden this guy who knows how to sell groceries and he wants to open a corner store, he's got to worry about all these different rules and regulations. That's much more of a burden than the gigantic chain that can hire a couple former regulators to do their compliance.
I've read that Ted Turner has said that there is absolutely no way in today's business world that he would be able to create CNN. He mm-hmm. would have been regulated out of even coming into existence.
Yeah, and so that it creates a barrier to entry. So that's why Philip Morris wants more regulation of tobacco. It's why General Motors, by far the biggest automaker, has lobbied for more clean air rules on cars. And so, again, even if you think that you need more federal regulation of tobacco, you ought to take a second look once you realize that the people pushing these bills are the companies that are going to profit from selling more cigarettes at a higher price because their smaller competition is driven out of business.
Investigative reporter Tim Carney is our guest. His new book, The Big Ripoff, How Big Business and Big Government Steal Your Money. Tim, you write in the book about, you have a chapter called You Get Taxed and They Get Rich, Why Big Business Loves High Taxes. That goes against everything that any politician ever says. Explain this to us. Why does business like high taxes?
Well, up in Northern Virginia, you had the businesses, especially the developers, lobby for a sales tax hike. They failed to get that, and so eventually in a referendum, so eventually the government down there in Richmond just passed a statewide hike, and it was for building more roads. And the reason they said we need more roads is to reduce traffic. But you know that the people funding this idea didn't believe that because they wanted to build more development out by the Moore Road so that there would be just as much traffic, just more people on the Moore Roads, which allowed these developers who had bought land out of the middle of nowhere with no roads to it, well, get the taxpayers to build a road. It's like getting them to pave your driveway, is the way one state senator put it. So they lobbied for a tax hike, and it was on sales tax, which you don't pay when you're buying a home there. So it's taxing everybody else to pave your own driveway to make your investment in property worth more. That's just one example, but the other one, what I was saying, regulation makes it harder for smaller businesses. More taxes creates more of a burden for smaller businesses for a variety of reasons. One is the corner store doesn't have an on-staff tax consultant who can help you figure out how to maximize your investments to get the minimum amount of tax bill. And then second simply is the barrier to entry. Adding more costs, adding more compliance hurts smaller businesses more than it hurts bigger businesses.
We really have created a business climate here in this country that isn't really free, and yet we keep preaching that we're all about free business and free market.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you learn about how business actually works, it's not really free. And if you're a small business owner, you can really get screwed in this country.
It is the best country in the world for small business, but it's getting worse every year, and it's not a nice place to try to do a small business for all these reasons. And it really is depressing once you're here in Washington for a while and you see the presence that these guys have. I mean, $7 million a year that these gas companies spend on lobbying, but then $21 million a year that General Electric spends on lobbying. And so then, but then in the industries where you have the bigger companies down to the smaller companies, it's the same thing. It's not that the lawmakers are all corrupt. Obviously, there are lots of corrupt ones who take bribes, and some of them got voted out of office on Tuesday. But most of the way the corruption happens is when somebody's considering a bill and he gets a call from his former chief of staff, who now happens to be lobbying for this firm or that, that the big firm with the expensive lobbyists gets his voice heard on Capitol Hill, while the small businessman doesn't get his voice heard on Capitol Hill. So even if they're not trying to rip off the little guy, that's going to be the effect once the government gets more involved in industry.
The book is The Big Ripoff, How Big Business and Big Government Steal Your Money. The author, Tim Carney, is our guest. Tim, tell us about Archer Daniels Midland, and who is that, and what did you learn about this?
My chapter on Archer Daniels Midland starts with Dwayne Andreas, a Midwestern businessman walking into the West Wing of the Nixon White House and dropping off an envelope with $100,000 in cash on the secretary's desk and then exchanging pleasantries and walking out. But the great irony is that Dwayne Andreas had given $100,000 to Nixon's opponent, Hubert Humphrey. Dwayne Andreas was a CEO of Archer Daniels Midland, huge agribusiness, but it's the number one producer of ethanol. And ethanol is, everybody's heard of it now in recent years especially, it's a fuel made from grain, mostly from corn. And it's also a fuel that wouldn't exist if it weren't for millions in subsidies as well as government mandates as well as government regulations. And so it's, he has a product that's worthless without government subsidies. He invests millions in politicians, and in return gets billions in profits.
And they're getting more money today than they've ever gotten.
The ethanol mandate that just passed in 2005 by Republican and Democratic lawmakers alike makes it so that you have to put ethanol in your car. But there's a problem. Ethanol doesn't get the same gas mileage that gas does. So if you see the gas pump contains 10% ethanol and the one across the street doesn't have the ethanol, if the one across the street is, even if it's more expensive, that might be better because that'll make you go further. It's about one-third less power in a gallon of ethanol than in a gallon of gasoline. On top of that, we're not sure that it's even good for the environment. It takes so much energy to produce a gallon of ethanol that you might pour more energy into producing it than you get out of it. So again, without the subsidies and the mandates, this product simply would not exist.
Tim Carney is our guest. Tim, you know, Thomas Jefferson wrote about this very same problem here in Virginia a couple hundred years ago when up at Monticello, when he recognized that, you know, the rich guys always get their way and the poor guy has to fight for everything. And if I hear you right, you're telling us that it hasn't been improved all that much. We certainly have a lot of improvements, but what do you recommend from where you sit in Washington? What can folks do?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad that you do mention Jefferson, because sort of his rival, Hamilton, I say Hamilton has won. The country today is the way that Hamilton wanted it to be, which is with a big government promoting big businesses. And Hamilton had more justification for that back in his day than his policies do today. But so that gives me a little bit of confidence that things have always been this way. So they're not getting that much worse is the upside. The downside is I don't really believe in the lobbying reform ideas or with the campaign finance. That just creates more barriers to entry. With campaign finance, it just makes it harder for us to find out where the money's coming from. With lobbying reforms, it just increases, it won't decrease big business access. It just means they'll have to get cleverer and they'll have to spend even more money on lobbying, which is less money they're spending on making the products better. The answer is, frankly, we got to stop trusting these guys in government. We've got to stop trusting the politicians to solve our problems.
Well, now you sound like Jefferson.
Which is a tough thing to do because the businesses can be scary, but if once we say government solve our problems, we're putting the ball in the court of the lobbyists. If we say, you know what, consumers have to stand up more for their own rights and turn less to the nanny state, then it becomes harder for the big businesses with high-priced lobbyists to get their way.
Investigative reporter Tim Carney, our guest. The book is The Big Ripoff, How Big Business and Big Government Steal Your Money. Tim, thank you so much for your time, and good luck with the book.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.